Call our meeting to order. Mr. Frank?
Yes, sir.
What you got for us?
I need some water. Several weeks or days ago, I sent you an email in regards to a refrigerator. And a refrigerator is about a $350 expenditure. It went through Mr. Rick Finley, the auditor, and he okayed it, but had some reservations because it might set a precedent. And it's been quite the topic of conversation at my office, and I'd like to get rid of the topic of conversation. I have a hard time justifying using taxpayer funds for a refrigerator in my office. But if it is okay to move forward, I do have money in the budget. But I've also volunteered to purchase a refrigerator for my staff in the office. I just want to do whatever is the right thing.
Do the right thing, Frank.
We had this conversation whenever we was in all of our moving process, and Mr. Hershen furnished a refrigerator, didn't check for his office. For his office, plus I think he refurnished the one for the commission, didn't he? Or how did that end up back there? I heard he did anyway.
Yeah, he had two of his spare.
The big one is, which is in our office now, came from him. And
if we had a commissary type or a room that was used, I wouldn't see any problem with it. I think, Frank, if, in just all honesty, I'm not against you having a refrigerator, but I just think it would set everybody in every office with one instead of the $350 expense. We'd end up with a $5,000 expense. That's just my personal feelings about it. That's wicked, you know.
I think I'll move forward with purchasing a refrigerator with my own funds.
Well, I don't.
I didn't care. I told Frank, I think I replied to him, I don't care. If you got budget for it, we buy water for people right now. We buy ice for the Road and Bridge guys.
It was discussed that we share a refrigerator somewhere over in this area over here.
We're trying to convert the old kitchen of mm-hmm. the jail to the break room. We haven't got it done yet. Yeah.
The issue I see with sharing a refrigerator over here, not that I'm opposed to that, would be during inclement weather or storms where we're working and others are not,
right.
Which potential to happen during evenings or weekends, then we don't have access to a refrigerator. But
right.
And I was indifferent. I think, and really, I'm still indifferent. I mean, I can see Danny's point. I mean, I really can. Unfortunately, you know, P&Z somehow ended up with one. The new building, they got one because it was something. There was one over there, so I don't even know where that one came from.
That's why I say they just wherever they end up, they seem to appear. Somebody either bought them or
well, I mean, it may have gone through. We may have bought it. I have no idea.
I don't know either.
Chuck, what's your opinion?
Like yours, pretty much. Being the old-timer, I don't think we've, and there's been exception, and that would be the new facility. I think there's some in that budget, but I don't think we've bought refrigerators. But I don't know. I don't know for sure. I don't know where the one that we've been using downstairs here came from, quite frankly, but the one upstairs was Ron's. He just left it behind.
He just left it behind whenever he left.
He's going to come and get it now.
I thought it might have some. He might have left it there with some kind of Agent Orange or something in it.
Orange juice, you mean?
I mean, it meant orange juice is what I meant.
But I guess there is one. Down, is it still where, I don't know where it is now. Has it been moved over?
Mm-hmm.
The one that was down where Sheila's office, extra office is?
A couple rooms down, okay.
and everybody uses it. So if it goes out, I don't know who would be.
Donna bought one for you through her department, her funded.
I mean, no, she bought it.
Personally?
Out of her own money.
You follow Donna's lead there, Frank. And
I could. I'm okay with that.
We hate to be difficult over the refrigerator.
I hate to be talking about it because I've talked a lot about it for a long time already, not just here today. You asked me to come forward today in preparation for Coon Creek Project to have a contract proposal from Great River Engineering, which I received yesterday. I can go over the basics. It's basically the same performance and scope of duties that they did on Casey Road for us, which would be full-time inspection, an engineer available to us that would make once or twice a week visits to the job to discuss any issues that may or may not be coming up. The only thing it does not cover is outside testing of the soils or materials used on the job. That would be a third-party expense. The contract states something to the effect that all work will be billed on an hourly basis, and then their rate sheet is attached to the end of the sheet.
All work what now?
How much are we talking there, Frank?
Estimated to be between $30,000 and $50,000. In talking with Great River Engineering, they estimated it on the high side at 50, using hours of an engineer at $105 an hour, of which, after having discussed this contract with them, that's how we came up with the 30 to 50 number. I can't ask for them to go for a not to exceed number, but I'm confident because of the scope of the job and the plans that I've seen, we will not need the use of the $105 per hour engineer as frequently as they had previously estimated. I thought of doing this in-house internally with myself, Randy, or someone else managing the job, but I think we'll get a better product and have more stringent response from the contractor if we move forward with this particular contract.
I just throw my two cents out. I would rather us try to do it internally. I mean, spending 30, what's the new adjusted number? 30 to 50? 20 to 30?
30 to 50.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather just move on to road and bridge guys and sit them there and say, read this plan and make sure they're doing it. I mean, I know who the contractor is probably going to get awarded the bid. He was low bid. They do this for a living. I think that personally at this stage, because of before I answer that statement, is MoDOT going to require inspections like they did for Mr. Redford on the frontage road because it's MoDOT-owned property?
I've not been told that. What I have been told is that due to our proximity and tying into MoDOT facilities, they will have a MoDOT inspector on site during any true tying in or abutting to their properties, which when we did Casey Road was on a once every several weeks basis. Because this is dealing more with more stretches and I think more in detail to tying into their area, that I would anticipate that a MoDOT inspector would be on site more often than it was with Casey Road.
I mean, because we're talking about adding a turn lane on 76, right. A turn lane on BB, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's two of their roads right there.
Right.
I would say, I think that with MoDOT being there, they're going to catch a lot of things and keep at least half the project itself honored. I mean, just because of their rules and their inspectors.
What happened to their part-time contribution to the project?
They're going to overlay it, BB. Isn't that what their long-term plan is? Next year they're going to overlay
BB? Their long-term plan is to overlay a large section of BB.
I was talking about 76 when we first visited this project.
I think they were going to put it on the step and lay us back in a few years.
That was wording similar to that, yes.
So what we're discussing now is the primary...
We're going to have someone outsource.
Construction inspector?
I'd say it's...
What do you... In the contract, one thing that was specific is we need, there'll actually be four flaggers on the project, two on each side.
Traffic control was not discussed in detail like that, other than they would need to follow standard traffic control practices for this type of work.
This is a whole different ball game than what we've been in on with, because it's constant intersection work. It's not like doing Casey Road where you get off of the road 50 and you don't need the flaggers. That's something that needs to be controlled.
I anticipate that the contractor will come to this commission and ask for complete road closure for several days a week, only allowing local traffic to get through so that they can expedite the job versus having full-time traffic control.
But they'll be responsible for traffic control also,
yes.
That'll be worked out in the construction meeting.
So what was your recommendation there, Jim,
We just do it ourselves. I mean, I think we're going to have a lot of eyes in there. Anyway, I mean, I know you personally and I personally and Chuck will all be there making sure we know what's going on. It's pretty crucial to traffic flow from the east to the west. Frank and John and Randy will all be there babysitting this because we're going to be requiring that of you. So... with an inspector or not an inspector, we're still going to be asking you to do it, and MoDOT's going to be involved.
What did we do on BB?
Randy just pretty well did that whole deal. You know, it was assigned to Harlan.
But we didn't have an engineer there.
Although they did come out and test compaction, MoDOT did. We had that one stretch where it rained and we got some material that wasn't, and they made us fill in on compaction, but we were like, that was like a 6-day deal. So I think if we requested from MoDOT that they come and inspect something that we thought we had a question on, that they would be there on anything that's down close to where the attachment is.
I'm with you.
That's good. Yeah.
Are you all right with that, Frank?
To not have Great River be the inspectors for this job.
Yeah.
We can make that work.
You needed something else on your list.
We talked a bit about the transportation group this morning. Having come back from Wichita late Sunday evening, I catch up on my news via the internet and see that a group that I'm a member of was disbanded was sort of surprising to me. I don't remember having any conversations that...
Well, you and I were named in Dean's note there, and I assume that he got that from a partners meeting. I'm not sure where else he got it, but I can hear myself saying, I don't remember it, but I can hear myself saying that at this time we're not meeting, but we hope to get it back going again, and he just... got it just slightly different than that we disbanded it. So
I've said things to the effect that we're regrouping, we're reevaluating, we're...
He worded that just right, that part of his comments. So before you leave that, I didn't get that brought up earlier, but I'd like us to think about, when we get to that point, adding a couple more.
To a 9-member?
Maybe.
I mean, I'd like to see it. I'd like to see an odd number, and I mean, we already have one vacant seat, which is Bob Simmons.
Right. A realtor. In fact, I think he spoke to me at a partners meeting that he would be willing, that he'd set on a committee years ago. That.
I'm hoping that we evaluate the criteria in which we select, and I mean, I'm for, I mean, the more people, as long as it's structured, the more people, the more opinions we'll get. This is not going to be a slow process. I mean, it's not going to be a fast process. So, I mean, as long as it's structured, I'm fine with enlarging the number too.
And I don't think I've told, I think I told Frank, I've got some books from Garnet Craig. Robert Craig bought some books from some study back when, I think it was on transportation, that are in my office if y'all want to look at them. I mean, okay. Chance, there's like three or four loose leaf binders where there was a study done, work done years ago that he was a part of. He wasn't interested in being a part, but he wanted us to have the books, so they're up there. Anyway. Thank you. Done.
The document I mentioned earlier this morning, the Taney County Master Plan, on our website there's a link, a hyperlink that links us to that supposed document, but that document is nowhere to be found on that link. So I think I need to talk to either make the document available on that link or remove reference.
Well, I put that link there specifically because Spencer gave me that web address, and then he specifically repeated that web address to the ladies upstairs so that I had Sean put that link there. So one of two things, does that document, does that website exist?
Well, I think the website I'm referring to is the Taney County, Missouri website.
I understand. Does the Great River East West Corridor website exist?
I asked for it the other day. I haven't verified it in person.
Okay, well, they told us, they presented that they would have this website. They presented to the public they had this website. They presented to Partners of Progress they had this website. I posted the website with that link.
And I believe that to be the case. I believe that's true. I think what I'm talking about, I believe, is a different issue.
No, I'm saying the website doesn't exist.
Okay.
I'm talking about the 99 master plan. Right.
I'm talking about something completely different.
On
our Taney County website,
okay,
there is a link that refers to 1999 master plan, and when one clicks that link, the master plan does not show
up. I'm sorry, I missed it. Does the other link work? The East-West Corridor?
I didn't look for it.
Tiger Grant link work?
I read about it in the paper. And
check it here. Right?
I can check it real fast.
Read about it in the paper and assumed that link was, and in talk, speaking
it was. Does it work? Okay.
In speaking with Great River, they assured me that it was up and running because I asked that the day after they promised it would be.
But I put it on the website.
I'd like to see you get it on there myself, because if you're seeing value to it, what I'd heard, again, going back, is that the commission, so to speak, gutted the master plan as far as planning and zoning mm-hmm. parts of it. But what you're saying is the transportation stuff is good information.
It is.
I'd rather have it on there.
And for those naysayers that are out there that says there we don't have anything as far as transportation plans, I think that's a good guideline to make reference to, that there are things out there.
When you looked at that, do you remember, did it even show the Hollister interchange? I don't think it would have.
Not the interchange itself, no.
I mean, or even talk about it?
Not the interchange itself. It did mention four-laning down to Arkansas borderline.
Right.
It did mention the proposed Branson Glades Road from JJ to Hollister.
Because I think Ziegenfuss started that in maybe 02 or 01 or something. It started in 03. So that's something not... Anyway, mm-hmm. just how things can change in 10 years a lot.
Purvis Lane, you all made a motion for one-time greater maintenance out there. We did achieve that goal, and Mr. Strafis and myself drove a quarter of the way, halfway down it, I believe it was early last week sometime, and made a significant difference in the road, but also... One could easily see that a significant amount of rain would have a negative impact on the road. So for the people that live there, I'm sure we made the entire stretch easier and more smooth to drive, but because of the lack of drainage facilities, certain parts of the road will deteriorate. due to that fact. That was just an FYI. We were out at Purvis and we took care of business. The fall cleanup was misadvertised in one or more of the local papers, and we've received numerous calls on a daily basis due to that error, even though they made a correction. I'd like to do another media release with the correct information on there, just because our initial advertisement was so far in advance. As we move closer, I'd like to do one more media release with the correct dates and times on there.
Well, you can wait a couple of weeks to do that, right?
Correct.
Because it's the first part of November.
Right, right.
I didn't see it in the newspaper. What did the news media say it was?
They said it was the 6th and 7th, which would be a Tuesday and a Wednesday of November.
Oh.
6th and 7th are actually a Friday and a Saturday, so they're calling us and wanting to know, is it truly... Which one do you mean, Tuesday or Wednesday, or Friday and Saturday? They did correct it, but we're still getting calls daily.
Yeah, we want a correction. We ended up with a 4-day 1 year.
Yeah.
Because of the media.
So, really?
Yeah.
Mr. Pennell has mentioned to me several times about the modular home park off of 248, I believe, Ozark Village, with the drainage issues.
Oh, yeah.
What I'd like to propose prior to doing anything else is myself and David Miller and or Mr. Van Gilder open discussions on that, because all of that new construction is within Branson proper, and those construction activities are adding water to the problem that's at hand in that little trailer park. I did make an inspection out there. I couldn't find any evidence of detention or retention ponds anywhere on site, anywhere around. So that construction has created more runoff than was previously there. So versus us taking in the roads in or making any repairs at the time, I'd like to make contact with the city of Branson and see if they, number one, know that the problem exists, and number two, are they willing to help?
David knows that the problem exists. He went back a long time ago and looked at the plans to see if they did have retention and this and that. And there was one halfway up the hill. But if I remember right, he said there were supposed to be some right next to the highway.
Right.
Are you saying you?
I did not.
Reason?
I wasn't able to find them 2 weeks ago.
Well, that'd be good if you'd do that.
Okay.
Ozark Park Estates, yep.
The rear parking lot for planning and zoning is very close to being ready to being paved. Made contact with Jernigan last week and got on their schedule for several different things. One being the rear parking lot, and also an additional parking area behind the planning and zoning building, which can accommodate 3 to 5 cars, depending on the configuration that they're put in behind the actual building itself. The parking lot will be paved, and then parking blocks will be used to stop the cars from going over the edge of the embankment there. Chip seal program has been going rather well since we had all of the representatives, the manufacturer, and a vice president of a company here and met in our office for several hours discussing these issues. They worked on it for about 3 days straight here on site, and we've not even had a hiccup with the machine itself since then. We did have a major hiccup 7 or 10 days ago when we chip sealed Plantation and Terra, or Terra Court, which is off of Plantation, and also a road called Foxglove. After doing some investigating, we found out that the oil on the failed chip seal roads came from a town called Miller, a different asphalt emulsion plant than what we're accustomed to using. Spoken with the vice president of Coastal, which is our oil supplier, and he assured me that we would no longer be getting any oil from those plants. They are aware of a formulation or a mixture problem that they were having. The first failure affected a few residents, and what it does is gave them a free undercoating of their car, but they also got a tar alongside their tires, rims, and vehicles, and a boat was also involved in that particular incident on Foxglove. On Plantation, we are up to about 8 cars that were affected, and of those 8, 3 are going out to have their vehicles done by a professional body detailer versus our county men working on it. And we have one that has brought us a laundry list of things, including check engine light is now on because of driving over chip seal. He's requesting an entire paint job for his vehicle. It's a Jeep. He's requesting a new soft top canvas top. He's requesting new tires and rims. He's requesting a significant amount of replacement. I'm not 100% sure that we should replace.
What liability is the oil company making?
The oil company has accepted all liability for.
So they're going to handle all these then?
I'm handling them due to their location. I'm handling them on a.
How would you? I mean, if they're accepting liability of the problem,
right?
Then they should. Their insurance should be doing this, not us. I mean, it's their fault, correct? If the oil was correct,
that's correct,
which they've admitted fault that the oil was bad,
yes,
then their insurance companies, their legal department, should be addressing it versus us.
Right.
Isn't that true? I mean, am I missing it?
I think that's an option. What started out on Foxglove, where we were able to accommodate all of the residents and make them happy with their returned vehicles by county staff doing the work. On this next issue on Plantation, we have one person in particular that refuses to take any of his vehicles to the county barn and letting the county workers.
I mean, I'll be honest, I wouldn't do it.
I agree. And so that changed the dynamics of how all the other customers were pleased with our efforts. This one customer, not two customers now, the Jeep and this gentleman that owns 3 vehicles. So I made contact with Coastal Vice President and let him know that we will have some outstanding bills that will be coming to him. And I said it could range from the several hundreds of dollars to several thousands of dollars based on the claims that come forward that I may or may not know about at this point in time.
Right.
And he said it's not a problem, just send forward those bills and we'll accommodate them.
I may just suggest they contact him directly, get you out of the picture, because you have no, I mean, you may be saying yes, yes, and then the Coastal says no, and then all of a sudden, who pays the difference?
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if, gentlemen, what's your thoughts, but I just see, if we're not supposed to be in the middle, we're not supposed to be in the middle. Not going to be a problem, Frank, you think?
Well, We were the work crews that placed the product on the ground. It was pumped into our vehicles, and we did all the actual work. So from a resident's perspective, the county did the work. The county messed up the road. But in reality, like you're saying, the material supplier supplied us with a product that was never going to set up,
right,
or took too long to set up. As me being the customer, I would want to be taken care of
quickly.
And efficiently, and so far both of those are happening. I've not received an invoice for any work being done yet, so I haven't tested the waters that you're speaking of as to whether or not they would. But I know on the line item that we spend on oil per year that we're a valuable customer to them, and I think that may influence them making sure that everything is proper when it's all said and done. But I'm willing to do whatever you would like
me to do.
What
do you want to do, gentlemen?
So, I'm sorry, I kind of wandered on you. Is there just the one big issue? Is that the one that's wanting the job and everything?
Four cars, two customers.
Four cars, two customers.
But you think, I just caught the part of being repainted and...
Yeah, he wants basically a new Jeep. He has a check engine light that's come on because of this driving over the chip seal. He has some claims that are pretty strong that I don't even believe are associated with.
That's where I would turn
the
chip seal.
That's why I would say turn it over, because you're not the insurance company.
Okay.
Hello.
The other one is going through, has already began the claim procedure in seeking three estimates for his two or three vehicles. And
are you going to pass that on to the coastal, or are we going to handle it? Because our insurance goes up when there's claims, right. And that's what we're dealing with. We're looking at a 10% increase, I guess, is what we're hearing on.
Okay. What I'm hearing is that I should be the pass-through person on these claims and have the people
have
go directly.
Coastal insurance man contact you.
Okay.
As long as the citizen gets taken care of on a timely basis, but I just don't want to see our insurance premiums go up because of their mistake, and that's the potential scenario.
Okay. Tires on Fall Creek, I saw an agreement show up on my desk, a $50 cost to the customer, and is there a motion to move forward with the pickup of the tires on Fall Creek? It was brought up 2 or 3 weeks ago.
There was a motion. Wasn't there, guys? Is that the LaCroix nuisance case? Is that correct,
yeah.
Chuck?
What reminded me of it was this form showed up on my desk. And
what's the form say?
Something to the effect that...
Is it the property owner giving permission for you to get on their property?
Yes.
It is?
I believe so.
It's a release form, but it's not a dollar figure, is it?
There's $50 mentioned in there.
What we've been waiting on, the reason I was kind of rolling my eyes and slow to speak, is we've been waiting for weeks, and I sort of halfway joked and said, let's just forget doing it because it's been so long. But anyway.
Is it a release form?
Bob told us that we needed a release
from
the property owner before the county went on and picked the tires up. And if he's got that,
I think
we need to move forward.
Okay.
But it's going to be next week, about 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And
you double check to make sure
believe,
it's a release?
I believe it is. So that would mean I would need to make contact with that person to have them sign that release.
Oh, it's not signed?
No. No,
oh.
It's blank.
No, that doesn't do anything good.
We've had that for weeks.
Yeah, we had that for weeks. They haven't signed it.
Okay.
Do nothing.
Okay.
Bob said he was going to get a hold of...
Yeah, they're supposed to have signed this thing. I thought we sent it to the attorney a while back.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's supposed to go to Clapper, and Bob was, and I don't know.
All right. It's just... Don't do anything, Frank.
Well, I hate to say this. Is it a... Was it somebody local? Was there information for you to contact them?
No, it was a blank release sheet.
Okay.
Two copies of a blank release sheet.
Why did it take so long to get you that? That's been weeks ago.
Okay. What are you doing, Debbie? Trying to get me fired up or something?
Yeah, I'm looking. Wow.
Are there any immediate plans? I've received several phone calls in regards to the slope behind the judicial facility.
There's lots of plans.
Okay, I've received phone calls in regards to Shorty Cooper. When are you guys going to continue to work on that? My standard answer has been we're awaiting a sewer line to force Maine to go through there prior to us completing the slope work and or Shorty Cooper.
Okay, Shorty Cooper is we're waiting on the sewer line, correct? We've decided that we're not relocating Shorty Cooper.
Right.
And we're just waiting for the sewer to get there from Osage, the
Randy talked to...
Right. We're just waiting. We're at their mercy
somebody,
on that.
And it sounded like Randy had the sense that maybe they'd start working on that in the next couple of 3 weeks.
So a change order has happened.
Change order's happened, I believe. That's correct, yes.
Now, regarding the slope, I've taken it upon my shoulders working with Renee to come up with a plan of a mix between grass and vines to get it done in the next couple weeks. So from the slope part in front of the facility, not the lower part where the line's going.
Okay. I'd like
to... You can be involved if you'd
like to be. I would like to be involved with that.
If you'd like to be.
Because there's two or three drainage...
I understand.
...structures that need to have some type of...
You can get with me and we'll... You can be a participant, but it's going to happen fast because it hasn't happened fast yet, so...
Okay.
So are you saying that you've made a decision? What?
No, I'm going to tell you guys before the decision, obviously, so we can all be in agreement, and I'm going to take just run with it.
But your thought is?
There's a mix.
A mix of vines and grass.
Grass and mowing it, and I think that we can all work that out. But be quick.
Okay. That's all I had on my list for today. Let's see if I have anything in here. We mentioned last week having a meeting between planning and zoning, myself and the commission, so that we could better... There's a couple of adjustments we either need to make to the road standards and or planning and zoning guidance book. There's two or three issues that we're saying opposite things in one or the other of the document. They need to be saying
really?
The same things. So... I'm requesting a little work session to clear that up.
Have we any sense what Aegis, when we would have another code book?
I mean, it's kind of on our shoulders, you know. I mean, it's how fast and hard. I mean, no offense against all of us, but we weren't prepared for the Aegis meeting yesterday or 2 days ago.
Right.
So it's really the commitment that we're making. I mean, it could be done in 30 days. I mean, I have the map that that they gave us. They gave Patsy. I have the map on the wall. I got it from Patsy yesterday. That I think you wanted to see. I wanted to show it to you. I mean, it could be 30 days, but it could be 90 days before we make some changes. I would probably, at this pace, go ahead and do a work session.
Change.
Okay.
I mean, there's another P&Z thing that we're going to be. We're going to create an official ordinance. I think that. I'll be coming forward with the work hours of a construction site. We don't have an official ordinance, and we talked about a 7-7,
yeah.
And there's a situation brewing in a neighborhood that since we don't have a designated ordinance, that we could be in, may not be able to prevent them from having it until we have the ordinance. So we're going to be doing an ordinance, I believe, on Monday. Monday morning, 9 o'clock, we're creating an ordinance.
Bob's working on it.
Yes.
Wonderful.
So that, I mean, there's some patches we've got to do, Frank. So I would say go ahead and, you know, come up with the suggestions and let's have a workstation.
Okay.
I don't think we can wait.
When you say planning and zoning, are you thinking like
roads?
One of their meetings?
No.
Oh, here.
Myself
and Eddie and the commission.
Oh, okay,
yes.
Sure.
Myself, Eddie, and the commission. Then I guess in closing, prior to us, when we used to meet upstairs in a small conference room, without microphones and being live on the air, it allowed myself and or you to interact in a little different way. I had a conversation yesterday morning with Mr. Pendle for about an hour to where there's some issues I'd like to get together with the commission and talk about. And it's difficult in this forum to make that happen. So I anticipate greatly the next time we get to meet upstairs to discuss how we work together. And
well, I mean, the challenge is I'm receiving a lot of positive feedback that it's all public, and then if it's
it is,
and I mean, public, it's public upstairs and public downstairs. I mean, I'm hearing people saying we want to make sure that we have internet broadcasting upstairs, so when we meet, this doesn't stop. That's what people are saying. I don't want this to stop. So we just have to, if it's personnel, if it's real estate,
if it's something that pertains to the way you want certain operations to go personnel-wise, we go into executive session on it.
I don't know if the format's going to change, Frank. I'm just going to tell you. I don't know if it will, because people are, we've got, five probably? How many got online? Five?
Eight.
Yeah. I know some of the media, I don't know if Jan does it, but sometimes it's easier for them to listen in and get just in versus driving over. And I know the people in some parts of the county, they can click and listen and get an update versus right. driving over. So
the issues I want to talk about are team building, setting goals, long-term goals, short-term goals, and morale. I'd like to get into an open discussion with all of you about those issues, but because it's broadcast everywhere, it to me seems awkward to discuss some of the issues.
Okay, you're talking about personnel. When are we talking about morale? You're talking about personnel if you were talking about teamwork. So right. I have no problem with going into executive session on those issues.
Okay.
And we just need to make sure we use the executives properly. But, Bob can always give us guidance. But once again, if we're having a morale issue, if there is, let's say there is a morale issue, it's driven because of employees.
Right.
And we'll bring up specific employee names if there's a morale issue, and therefore it justifies the executive session.
Okay.
Now, if it's long-term or short-term planning in generalities, then it probably doesn't warrant an executive session, unless we're talking about going forward planning without certain personnel, then it may. I've had too much positive feedback of this thing being available. I can just tell you that I as much as I don't like it, it's been, I think it's a good tool. Right. So.
Okay. That's all I have, gentlemen.
I've got a road and bridge issue. Okay. The MoDOT barn. We haven't worked on that. And I was visiting with our auditor a few days ago. I don't know how it came up. But as I've thought about it after we met with them, and I think I even maybe made some mention of it in the meeting, I'm thinking maybe that buying that barn instead of taking on whether it's 35 miles or 10 miles or whatever we came up with, I'd like us to talk about that at some point.
I mean, a couple things. I want the place because I think I have some thoughts. I may have mentioned it maybe to Frank, somebody upstairs. I don't think I've mentioned it to you guys, but I know if we buy it, they said the process is completely different. It's a bid process, which then we'd lose our advantage of buying it. I know Frank and I talked about frontage roads. They're wanting us to take some frontage roads over by 65 and Fruit Farm Road and all those frontage roads, which they didn't include in this. And those frontage roads are in great shape, and those are some things that they haven't thought about that we probably want to talk about. I like the barn. I'd like to get a tour. I mean, I'd like you to set up something maybe next week for me to meet you over there. And I know they said they'd give it, and they were supposed to give us a plat. They were supposed to give us all a bunch of stuff, and I haven't seen anything.
Yesterday I received a plat of the 4 plus or minus acres. I received two copies of different types of inspections that have happened in recent times.
EPA stuff?
Yes. So they have, as of yesterday, supplied us with some of that information. I can set up a tour of the facility.
I would like you to do that.
And
you guys have maybe been there. I haven't been there before. So, I know where it is. I pulled it up off the assessor, GIS system.
Their base price, it's maintenance per mile that they mentioned at $7,000 per mile. That number's probably not a lot different for us. And if we took on those 35 miles, that's a significant impact, not only on our budget, but in response times for things like snow patrol. It would really make an impact on us. So I would like to consider purchasing it outright, and I think that's cheapest in the long run. But it also, as they stated in the meeting, it would probably go out to open competitive bid if that were to be the case.
I mean, the question is, what's it worth if we don't get it? Yeah. I mean, I know that we've talked about, you know, Hanson's Tree Service came in and talked about recycling. I think we can't do anything with the transfer station with the current usages over at the Buchanan barn. But if we were able to move the Buchanan Road Bridge to the Mount Branson, we could then offer some more services to the citizens. So then all of a sudden you're saying the value statement is an open bid. That's a valuable piece of property. You know, I mean, we can always get it appraised and see what it comes out of an appraisal perspective. But if it goes open, you know, we had a similar situation with some land we were trying to buy earlier in the year, and once it went open, we didn't get that purchase. And that makes me a little gun-shy right now. Mm-hmm. But I understand your perspective of what they had asked, but I mean, being realistically, I don't know.
I was disappointed in them coming back with such a ridiculous amount of mileage.
And not really wanting to negotiate.
No.
It was basically take it or leave it.
Well, I think they told us it was appraised at just over $200,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, 210 is the number they referred to.
But the roads and maintenance that they had on their list was a lot. I mean, we'd eat up the 200,000 in a year's time, then we have their...
Got to do it forever.
Yeah.
Got to do it forever, so it's...
Their reasoning was very flawed, because they're basically saying, here's $200,000 in one-time expenses for the road maintenance, but what about the rest of our life, or just say at least 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about $1 million expense on a building that's worth $200,000. But I'd like to see it. I think we need to continue to have. I think we need to have another meeting with them.
Yeah, I think another meeting.
I mean, as soon as we can, as soon as we visit and have an option of, you know, what's our counter proposal? If we don't want, what is it, T10? Is that with some of that stuff on there that we didn't like?
They proposed JJJ T.
Some of those roads we were already driving down anyway, though.
Right.
I think some of those roads during the snow removal, we were already going on those roads to get to other roads. But some of them didn't make sense for us, but some of the frontage roads may do because of fruit farm and other roads.
Right.
But I think I would just like you to come up with a counter proposal or a counter offer, Frank.
Okay. I pretty much have that done.
Okay.
What I'll do next is set up a meeting to tour the facility to make sure that you truly are interested in it. And then follow that up with another meeting with MoDOT. And prior to having that meeting, I will show you map-based and probably some numbers as to what would be a counteroffer to their offer.
Okay.
See if you're in agreement with the counteroffer. You mentioned transfer station, and that reminded me that I met earlier this week with Aegis Engineering. And we're at 90%+ of design for the improvements on the transfer station itself. And what those improvements are is opening up two additional bays for smaller private vehicles versus the commercial vehicles. Commercial versus private, they don't interact very well. The commercial haulers believe that they have the right to jump in front of five or six cars if need be and get in there and dump. And so some of these changes, not only will they help us comply with some DNR requests that we've had, they will help the operation of the transfer station itself. We have had four conversations with DNR, and several times, depending on who we're talking to at DNR, we get sent in a different direction than we thought we were sent by another leg of the DNR group. So Although design is at 90%+ and we're ready to start building it with in-house forces, the DNR issues have yet to be hammered out, and I think I have another meeting next week with Aegis to discuss updated information from DNR. So design looks good, just DNR issues.
Are we going to be paving point. Out the apron area?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How about checks? I mean, our new no check policy out there, has it gone into effect with the transfer station?
I think it did, and then it went off again. And
it gave it some more time. I don't remember what the time was.
No, I know it's back. I mean, we finally made a decision. So, okay.
But we extended the time, and I'm not sure how long it was. Okay. So people could get open an account if they just.
Right. Okay. There were some customers that really had an issue with that. And
I know Rick and Helen were talking with them directly.
Okay.
I think it's going pretty well. Okay. I called one guy that I'd spoken to a time or two. And
are we set up on a courier out there yet?
Not yet. Okay. Helen is working on that.
Okay. Anything else?
No, sir.
Not Rick. Anybody need a break?
We have H1N1 we were going to talk about for 5 minutes.
Okay, let's talk about H1N1.
You had some concerns?
Well,
so you had a press release?
Actually, I didn't get any work done. I kind of passed it to Jillian.
Okay.
I went by the health department yesterday, day before, and got some info, and they emailed some info, and then I guess we were all at the Republican Club the other day
when Jim spoke. I'd like to...
Just something to be good for us to put something out that's just kind of a reminder and education.
I think there's a couple things we need to do as an organization, though. We don't have... Yesterday, for example, we had two departments not answering phones because they were out because of a flu-like symptom illness that could apply.
Yeah.
And so phones were being forwarded to Jillian. We really don't have a policy of how we're going to deal with key people not answering the phone. I wouldn't say it's an epidemic problem, but we really need to have a plan, because right now I'm already seeing some significant sick people are being sick.
Right.
And you know, last week I had Renee buy Lysol wipes for every department so they could wipe down, you know, the doorknobs and all that, either in the morning or at the night.
Right.
But some of the things that we need to create, kind of remind everyone, they shouldn't be sharing phones, they shouldn't be sharing keyboards and sharing mice with the just simple process. But more importantly is, if a department's sick, what is the process? Who's going to be forward of the phones? Because yesterday she was answering, Jillian, you know, we were shorthanded. You know, half our staff is sick. But she was got two other departments forwarded.
Yeah.
So we really need to talk through this of where are these phones going to be answered.
We ought to work with Renee and see what kind of procedures, extra procedures they might go through.
Right.
Like you're talking about wiping. And
I think that could be part of the email you're thinking about sending out, Chuck, is that we just kind of say this is what we want each office to do. And then as department heads, we kind of probably need to say, if your department's sick, who are you going to forward the phones to? And, you know, and so at least there's a chain that commission office doesn't get all the phones, because we're not set up to handle all the phone traffic in the building. But I know the collector's office had two of the five people were out sick yesterday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're starting to see, you know, some impact. I mean, we're able to provide the services, but we kind of need to be planning ahead for that, and that's part of what I wanted to bring up is we kind of need to get an email, all that, and then get it sent out to everybody.
Jillian was going to go through that stuff
uh-huh.
and kind of weed it out, but of course she hadn't had time,
because
she's
mentioned answering phones and covering half the office.
But maybe we can get that done.
I gave her the handouts that Jim gave us too, so maybe right. we can. And I asked for the electronic copies from Jim to get them to us. That way, maybe we can just cut and paste and be a little quicker. But just food for thought. We need to kind of think through that. What's the chain of forwarding phones. I mean, we do that for Road and Bridge right now, and Road and Bridge does it for us in purchasing. But then it goes like, what about maintenance? What about collector? What about P&Z, sewer? And we can just go down the row, but we kind of need to have a plan there. So.
Yep. Sounds good.
That's the only thing I wanted to bring up, but I'm going to agree we need to send something out.
Yep. 24 hours, you're spreading it 24 hours before you recognize it, and you need to stay home 24 hours after you get off the fever.
Off the fever and off of any medication.
And medication.
Yeah. So after medication, then you're no fever for 24, then you stay home.
So it's a...
Wow, we have
two press members.
Wow.
I have one more FYI,
yes,
on Coon Creek. You may or may not have noticed an executive session was put on your calendars for Friday afternoon.
Friday at 11 o'clock.
Okay. We have almost all of the right-of-way, after yesterday's issues that were brought up in regards to right-of-way and how we would move forward, almost all of them have been acquired except for the gentleman that would like to see $3.50 plus per square foot. He's requested to come in and speak to the commission. He will not waver right from that particular number. And that's on the 7th.
Yeah, I know. Say the name. So.
Okay. So just for your information, that is why that executive session was put on for Friday.
No problem. It's on 11 o'clock Friday morning. All right.
Okay.
5 minutes. Give me 2 minutes so I can fill up the water. So.
Just a quick break.
Recess for a quick break. You can leave it running. I don't care. Oh, we can keep on going. We're good. Keep on going. Never mind. Unrecess. You're at 3 o'clock, Rick. You're early. Okay.
I want to listen to this one, too. I can, what I want to look at in here. So.
Okay. East West. Spencer, you got information?
Tiger Grant.
I got some information.
Electricity? No. It's on the wall back there.
Afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. I've got some of the information that was requested that I bring today was an update on what information was available in regards to the applications that had been submitted. I've got a little bit of information on that, more on a state level rather than on a national level. And then also schedule on, you know, how this project could potentially proceed and meeting the goals and objectives of the Tiger Grant. So I don't know if you guys have a particular part that you want to start at. But.
I mean, I got a couple thoughts. I mean,
nope.
things that we want to make sure we discuss. Obviously, is any update you've got as the applicants. The second thing is understanding the motion. I can tell you what the motion was. I can also tell you what the contract was, and then there's a differing. They don't equal, and then also understanding the repercussions, making sure that we're not violating the process beyond now, between now and the award time. So, I guess I'll steer it with one thing. What do you have as an update for who applied? Kind of recap that for us.
I can do that. The information on a national level is still not available. I've been tracking that through the website. That's the medium that they choose to provide that information through. It's not available. They do weekly updates. They did an update last week. Excuse me. They did an update yesterday, and they did not indicate how many applications they received. I submitted an email question, which usually they respond in 24 hours of if that information was available, if not, when it would be available, and I've not received a response back yet. So I did the second best thing I knew to do was to contact MoDOT, the highway department's representative that works on this for the state level. Her name is Michelle Teal. She's the coordinator for MoDOT for not only the Tiger Grant, but also for any of the economic stimulus monies that are available that MoDOT's working on. She indicated to me that there were 7 projects that were submitted that provided the 20% match to receive the letter of support from MoDOT.
Can I interrupt you? The 7, how many were state? Maybe you were getting ready to say
that. Well, one of them was MoDOT's for the $200 million.
It was $200 million?
$200 million, yep. One of them was Mid-America Regional Council, and that was, and I'm going to do round numbers, was $87 million, and these are the amount of Tiger Grant monies that were requested. Mid-Missouri Regional Planning Council was $20 million. St. Charles County was $100 million. St. Genevieve, which was a port project, was $9.93 million.
9.93? Mm-hmm. Doesn't it have to be $20 million minimum?
There's a waiver on the 20.
Okay.
Jefferson City was $18.4 million, and then Taney County's was $19.45. Those were the projects that received letters of support from MoDOT. There were a total of 11 other projects that were submitted that did not receive a letter of support because they did not provide the minimum 20% match MoDOT required for a letter of support. Five of those projects were submitted by the City of St. Louis, and one of those projects was submitted by Greene County for Highway 60. So of those 16 projects that were submitted from Missouri, there was a request for $812 million. Just to kind of some...
Seven were given a letter of support because they met the minimum qualification, which is 20% match.
Which was required by MoDOT to receive a letter of support.
Okay. But it wasn't a Tiger Grant requirement.
Right. The Tiger Grant would allow 100% paid through the Tiger Grants.
All right.
In talking with Michelle, and she's had the opportunity to review those 16 applications, she said that Taney County's application was in the top 50% of those. She said it was one of the best prepared applications, and she also made the comment that it was a strong application. So that was very encouraging to hear that from her, especially after she's had the chance to review all of the applications that she was aware of for Missouri. The only other information I could find, or the best and next information I could find, was the state of California. Caltrans had posted the number of projects that they had looked at. They looked at 128 projects for a total of $3.1 billion of projects. To kind of put that in perspective, the total amount of funding for the Tiger Grant is $1.5 billion. So they more than doubled.
They asked for three times the...
More than doubled. And the maximum that any one state can get is $300 million.
Okay, so that's my question. They are issuing up to $300 per state, but each state is not guaranteed $300.
Right. Because if you take the $1.5 billion that are available, theoretically divide that by 50, you know, that doesn't work out to $300 million.
Let me just kind of remind you. Remember, we had talked about me contacting Senator Bonds and Roy Blunt's office. I did that. Steve McIntosh said that we may never see who all applied because of privacy laws. So they said don't think you're going to find out ultimately who actually applied and what the details of the whole thing is. So I know what they're trying to do with the transparency, he's saying, but don't count on it because of privacy laws. You may not get a complete list. You may get a partial list, but never a complete list.
Well, and I'll tell you something too that kind of along those lines that's been kind of interesting is that there's some of the people that made application are choosing not to make their application publicly available on their website, which I thought was kind of interesting. They'll let you access their letters of support and some of their supporting documentation, but the application they choose not to post.
So. I mean, I bet you don't know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Any indication of who this mysterious board that's reviewing all the applications are?
No.
Where they reside?
No.
Nothing.
They work with the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Okay.
And that was appointed by the Secretary of Transportation. Or put together by the Secretary.
The board was assembled by that?
Yeah, to do this, to accelerate this review of these applications so that they can get the funding decisions made.
Right.
Did I miss the fact that you may have talked about letters of support or your conversations with Mr. Duranis?
Yeah, I mean, there's some, I don't know if he would want me to throw his name out, but I think that Kurt Duranis saw the application that Taney County prepared, and he made the comment that he felt it would be a strong application from the ones that he had seen or the ones that he was aware of. I've heard this secondhand, so but that he felt it was a strong application, and said that if any project in Missouri stood a chance, this was a good, strong application.
I heard that probably from another. I heard it from another person in the county who talks to MoDOT often. Yeah. So
on Monday of this week, I also received a letter from Lieutenant Governor of the State of Missouri in support of this particular project, and it was appeared to be original hand signed copy from Peter Kinder.
Pete Kinder. Uh huh.
Yes.
Is that that was a question that Michelle Teal with MoDOT had asked me. Did we solicit that, or was it an unsolicited letter?
Unsolicited.
I did not solicit.
Yeah, well, we didn't, and no. She said she didn't.
Right.
Now, we have requested a letter.
But he's on the tourism
board,
and he's a big proponent of tourism within the state, and he also supports this area, so it doesn't surprise me. That's encouraging, but it doesn't surprise me.
So that's the best information as far as, and I've got a couple copies of some other applications just to kind of give you some perspective of that. And again, these are just the ones.
So let me throw a question out and you guys can interrupt me. Clarification for me. This is just from my perspective. We have, according to what you can tell, we have met every obligation for the Tiger Grant application. And I'm going to ask a real pointed question. If I said stop working on everything with the east-west corridor, period, until we hear back, would that affect the decision of who gets the Tiger Grant from based off what you know? I know timeline. Forget about timelines for a second of time to complete and engineering time to do finals, but do we have to do anything more between now and the award time to make sure we're still qualified, we don't mess up the application? And the reason I asked that is that I was confused. I've made some statements in the public, I think, that were contradicting themselves, and then that's why I wanted this meeting, because I was, just to let you know, Spencer, we awarded $50,000, we also put in the words, with the contract and addendums. Well, the contract and addendum automatically rolled on past the $50,000, so we got the motion doesn't exactly match up with what the contract we agreed to.
Sure. So okay. So yeah, to respond, and I will refer directly to the Federal Register, which provides the guidelines that the application requires. And okay. So they're not my words; they're out of the application. And I'd be happy to give you guys a copy. All right. So there's two things. Priorities must also be given to projects that can be completed by February the 17th of 2012 would be one thing that would relate to that. And then the second being, as a part of the application, we have to demonstrate that the project is technically feasible. And that is that the following that is that the technical feasibility of the project, including completion of substantial preliminary engineering work.
Re-say that again?
All right.
Technically feasible.
Can I bring this up to you?
Yeah. That's where I guess I'm...
And so it's an interpretation issue. And
what does that mean, including completion of substantial preliminary engineering work? What is... They're obviously referring to that part of it. Where is that discussed in here?
That was a part of the information that we were to provide them with in the application form.
Okay.
Of where we were at.
Okay.
And then two, where we would be in order to meet the other criteria of
completion.
2012.
Okay. You can back to the microphone that way. Engineering wise, it's going to take full engineering drawings 6 months.
I've got a schedule that I've prepared.
Please. You knew this was coming. You knew we were going to ask a question.
Yes, Julian told me that you wanted to have a schedule.
Sure. The media wants one, of course. We'll get you a copy.
I'll give you mine. Okay, so... And this is consistent with the schedule that we submitted to as a part of the application. So what I'd like to do is start backwards.
Okay.
We know that we've got a completion date of February of 2012. We're taking an aggressive construction schedule of 18 months. And in 2012, you'll see that that accounts for the whole year. I just wanted to kind of make that clear on the visual there. But 18 months of a construction window, which on this project would be equivalent to spending $1.25 million every month as far as construction-related work. Then, as we know, I put a two-month window for bidding an award to allow us to advertise for bids for 30 days, take those bids, evaluate them, and then be able to obtain the insurance and bonding from the contractor in that 60-day period. Then we start looking at final design. We've got a six-month window for final design, and also at the same time, we've got a six-month window for right-of-way acquisition. That puts us at January of 2010. And then backing into that, we've allowed 5 months for preliminary engineering design permits and environmental clearances of 5 months. So we've got a little bit of overlap there because we're having to compress this schedule. And so what we see there is that the preliminary work that we can begin, we'll start identifying areas that we can proceed to final design as soon as possible so that we can meet that construction window of being able to start construction September, basically, well, 1 year from today.
Well, the final design, can you explain what that process is?
I'll kind of go through. Well, the final design is putting it into construction level details. Start giving them exact dimensions on the width of the intersections, how far they come out. I mean, the construction details, so they can go out with a tape measure and
draw,
measure
drive and stakes to the ground.
Yes, and measure on the ground. The preliminary, what it will do is identify where we're going to be working on the projects and how much right of way we're going to need in order to accomplish those things.
I'll be transparent with you, Spencer, here. If the Tiger Grant doesn't happen, I don't see how, I don't know the next option to fund the project. Meaning, where I'm perplexed, and I'll be honest here, is if we don't get the Tiger Grant, we know the voters don't want a tax to pay for the road. Okay, mm-hmm. That's what I think the vote was, is they don't like the funding mechanism, and we're trying for that. I don't know when the next time is. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So then my question is, with an economic condition the way it is right now, do I want to spend $500,000 on engineering to get me to a point where I know I can't build it in the next 2 years? And that's where I'm you know, I've got a lot of feedback. I've been getting lots of feedback from my constituents who are saying, now what's the next step? Well, that's why I wanted to have this meeting, was to make sure that I understood so I can make an intelligent decision, because first of all, I realized that what I said yes to didn't match up with what the contract and addendum, not because of anything on purpose, it just didn't. I'm going to ask you, is there any way that could you do the preliminary and final design, and if you started it, say, January 1st, and still make the timeline? It's going to be tight, nearly impossible.
It would be very difficult. And then, too, there's the other issue that we have there, too, is the environmental and cultural clearances. And until we start saying where we're going to disturb, it's a little bit difficult to say culturally or environmentally how it will affect those areas. So, I mean, it's kind of a balance there.
But wasn't that a smaller part of the project?
As far as fee-wise.
Fee-wise, yeah. Expense-wise?
Yeah, and it's not really, it's not a function of fee as much as it is having the information to be able to provide that clearances. And here's the way to look at it. If you are U.S. Fish and Wildlife, you're going to want to know what areas we're going to be going through, if those are habitat for Indiana bats, if there's a certain type of vegetation that's protected, those are going to be identified through that preliminary design process. I mean, and what we've done so far is we've taken a broad brush stroke and kind of identified, here's a corridor, but they're going to want to be more specific about where that dirt is going to be removed or placed.
I mean, I can keep on talking, guys, unless you have statements and questions.
Keep it talking.
Is it possible that we could break the project down to multiple stages where, as a certain part of the road got designed final, we could bid that part out so that we could kind of, I mean, obviously the whole east-west corridor, assuming we get the grant, is not going to be under construction at the same time. There'll be part, it's going to be a stages. It may be bridges first. It may be creek crossings. There may be something there that's logically, but may not need we may not need the final, but we just need it in stages. Is that a possibility? What I'm trying to get away with, I'm telling you, I'm trying to find a way that we can still meet the 2012 completion date, but not just and postpone you spending more money on this thing until we get closer to the date. I was encouraged to reread the entire grant and said that they're going to make a decision anywhere between the September 15th and February 15th. That was encouraging for me, meaning they necessarily aren't going to wait to the end. And so I was hoping that if we were going to hear something, we'd hear right away, good or bad. So what I'm trying to do is delay you billing any more against this thing until we get closer to that February 15th, because I want to be, I'm as optimistic as anybody and progressive, but I'm running out of thoughts and of how we're going to fund this thing, because I haven't figured out how Frank can do without $2 million a year so we can go get an internal a bond. I mean, I haven't figured out how he can operate with less money. So that's where I'm asking all the questions. I'm just letting you know where I'm trying to get to.
No, I totally agree. And, hey, I guess this is a good time for me to be clear that, I mean, I'd like for the commission to fully understand that our commitment is to Taney County and the commission, not to this project. I mean, this is one project of many that we've worked on before and hopefully many that we will work on in the future. So whether this happens today or happens in January or February or 6 years from now,
right.
I mean, we're trying to look out for the best interests of the county, and I can say that if you choose to delay till February, in February we'll be back and say it were to get funded, we would be back and have the conversation. All right, how can we meet this commitment? And we will do everything we can to meet that commitment. We've teamed up with Olson Associates, so we've got two companies that are very familiar with transportation design and have that expertise and capacity in-house today. It's not like we're going to go hire people to do this job. We have those people on hand now. We would just have to basically double up our efforts.
Right.
What about contractors? What about different contractors as you talked about splitting the phasing the project?
I love that idea.
What about two contractors, that one that would design be working on the west side of BB and the other one working on the east side of BB to shorten the construction time? When we first started this, and time wasn't a restriction, wasn't an EFK mowing, their projected time was 18 months. Now, that wasn't with any deadlines, any hurrying, anything that had to do with any rush time. It was 18 months. This was their projected time. So if we figured out, and I think this is going along with what Jim's trying to figure out in his own mind, if we went with two different construction companies working both ends of the project, could we eliminate months in construction?
Yeah. Now, the only thing, I mean, and looking at the big picture, what one thing that they really expressed through the Tiger Grant is that they want to put that money out in the system as quick as they can. I mean, they don't want to award a project in January of 2010, waiting for October of 2010 for that money to get injected into the system. So, I mean, they want us to commit to expediting that process.
Right.
And, I mean, and we're trying to find a way to do that with, I mean, contingent upon how the funding comes out, which is, I mean, it's reasonable. And the other thing is, I mean, we've been discussing that same idea of breaking it into maybe four contractors, where you've got $4-5 million, you know, round figures, $5 million projects with four different contractors. The other thing too is when we look at the national average as far as how many jobs this will stimulate, because again, trying to fulfill the obligations of the grant, you know, that $1.25 million per month equates to about 180 jobs. Well, I mean, that's probably the average of what we would expect for this project. So that makes me feel like we're well within that window of that being achievable.
I mean, and with the timelines, I mean, the worst thing that could happen, I think, in my eyes, is that we get into a time crunch and we award this to an out-of-state contractor, and all of a sudden there is no jobs. The money came and went and didn't impact Taney County whatsoever from this infusion of cash. So, I mean, we've talked about it in open session, but trying to make sure that we encourage 50%+ of the employees have to be residents, or the business has to be a resident, or some sort of guidelines. I know St. Louis, City of St. Louis did something to their contract where they changed some wording so that money stayed within the area. You know, I would think the more contractors we got involved, the better chances of getting local money to stay locally. And because we don't want the money to just leave. I mean, the checks get paid to out of state, and we don't see any of the benefits of it. What I'm hearing is we know that Great River's been great for the Taney County, and this is just one project of many, either in the past or in the future. And you understand our position. You understand my position. I can't speak for the other two. That if I say I want to hold, it's not because of what you're doing. It's because, I mean, first of all, did we meet the obligations of the Tiger Grant? And there's still a percent chance that we could still meet the deadline if I said, I'm going to say, let's stop. I mean, you still think there's hope to make the deadlines.
I can tell you that we'll do everything within our reasonable power to make sure that happens.
Okay. Other questions?
To complete any project that you feel is worthwhile, it takes a certain amount of obligation, I don't know what terminology you use, but toward that project. I mean, you have to be, I think we as a commission, and I've heard each commissioner's comments, realize what a benefit this project is to Taney County. Now, there would be others that would argue certain points, but they cannot argue the fact that the project in itself is a financial, economic impact to the entire county. It serves every citizen of the county, so we have to make a decision of whether we think that that obligation to the project be stated in a way that we either are obligated to pursue it or never do it. That's just the way it lies. I'm going to go back to the 1994 master plan that mentioned the project. I'm going to go to the article wrote about the 10 years of transportation studies before we do the project. We have a judicial facility that we argued 10 years about that would still not be done if people hadn't stepped forward, and now it sits on the hill. So our decision has to be one of obligation to this project. I don't know whether it's
I hate to be put under any timeline, but this Tiger Grant is a golden opportunity for the project if the commission, and I've heard every one of them speak of what they think about it, to make it go forward. And time-wise, I hate to ask you to do something that's impossible. But
it will be difficult, but I'm not saying impossible, but it'd be difficult.
Yeah. But let me ask it in a different way. Now, Jim gave you a time frame there of January, right? 15th?
I said January. Suppose January 1st. I have a feeling that, yeah, January 1st, yeah.
Okay.
You would lose basically your 90 days of what you'd be working on right now.
Right. What I'm asking is if there's a time frame of 30 to 60 days that we could still feel comfortable with, because I hear you say the 90 days you'll do everything possible. If 30 days had went by and we had received more information about who had been eliminated, if we had received more information about projects that were turned down for some unknown reason, then we could make a decision more comfortable about the Tiger Grant. I have no problem in my eyes of seeing and voting for moving on. I want to look at the budgetary figures the budget figures that Mr. Finley is going to bring to us here after a while for this year, and hopefully we anticipate growth. For maybe we've hit the bottom and are headed to the top.
I'm going to just step out there and make a motion real fast. Is that right? I don't know if you had some comments. I want to move that we suspend the grant to your contract for 30 days, and we come back in 30 days, and then I don't want to cancel the contract because we've done all the work and we're ready to move forward. But I'd like to suspend any work on the contract, so any billables against the contract for 30 days until we meet again.
Okay. Yeah.
Basically, that was my question.
Yeah, I'm just going to move that we just suspend the contract for 30 days until we meet again. I'll get something scheduled as fast as possible. So that's my motion.
And I'll second it.
So you're saying 30 days.
We meet
we're
again.
Going to sit down and go through this again.
Uh huh. And maybe we'll have more information.
Well, and that's the hope. Is
the hope is that
that's what
the grant, because they changed the wording. I don't know if they changed it or if I read it different, but I think the wording got changed that they're now going to award between the two dates, which means they're going to start releasing funds sooner versus later. And if we're, you know, if we're picked, we could be in the first 30 days and we go on. But that's why I'm saying 30 days, and we'll just do it at 30-day blocks until we hear something. And
Jim, and there's a very important reason to do that also, just what I mentioned.
Yeah,
budget-wise, where we're at.
Right.
We have more of an idea of what the economic conditions are. Your presentation the other day, the impressiveness of the 3.5 to 4 year capability of this project paying for itself. I mean, we cannot afford not to. May not be able to afford to right now, but you can't afford not to if that be the facts of the matter.
And I think one thing that will be interesting, and we'll have the opportunity to see it firsthand, is when the state starts working on the Taney Como Bridge, of the impact. I mean, of how people traverse through that area and use that area, what's going to give us the opportunity is a snapshot of the future.
All right. Right.
I mean, I know that's a ways off, but we'll continue to see, you know, see what's going on there.
I think one thing that you just said about the bridge, and people have a confusion about the bridge solving the transportation problem, connecting the bridge with the east-west corridor, it doesn't have a thing to do with it. You're shoving every bit of the traffic to downtown Branson, no matter how you put the bridge or any other source there. This I hear this mentioned all the time. I even had a person the other day ask me about the tiger grand, why we would want to put that much money into a big sanctuary for tigers. Now, you see how confusing it is to some people? So after all the conversation that we've had about that, and this person was not an ignorant person. I'm just telling you that they didn't have any idea what the East-West Corridor and the Tiger Grant meant to each other. So, but we got a motion in
the second. I'm going to modify my motion, not say 30 days, but pick a date and say October 26th. So instead of 30 days, we'll go ahead and pick a date out. So my motion is going to be modified to until the October 26th meeting that we'll have.
That will work for me.
That's 30 days, 31 yeah. days.
I've got some comments.
Sure.
That got it?
Yep.
And I hope I don't come across mean, but I've got very uneasiness. Jim, you asked a pointed question mm-hmm. today. And the answer that I heard is we'll do all we can do, which is I would expect. But I don't think you got a pointed answer.
Okay.
And what I heard you ask was, if we don't move on today, then can we get it done? And Spencer's answer was, it'll be difficult. We'll do all we can. But yes or no, you didn't get. And when you say pointed, I assume you were looking for a yes or no answer. Let me finish, and mm-hmm. you can have your time. And I can't remember if I've said this publicly or not, but I was very excited when Spencer first brought this to us, when he said that we had a good chance, a very good chance. And then we voted on a 99-1, and I didn't vote for that because I felt like it's too big a chance. We spent $50,000 to get a wonderful grant or application. And I heard last meeting that we needed to make a decision to move on, and we're pushing it off 30 days, and that's okay, I guess. But it just, my confidence is very low, and we've spent the $50,000 and it's gone. And I would like to say that I voted first to send the application, because we'd spent the money, it was ready, it'd be dumb, you weren't here to vote for it, and so that's why I voted to send it forth. But I feel like that because of things, we are in a particular spot, and you've said things, Jim, that communicate that. So anyhow, that's kind of feelings and not much direction, but I just don't like where we sit today.
Sure. I mean, just to kind of clarify, I've done construction. I've been around, and we could literally cut that 18-month window in half by doubling the work schedule and saying that all work has to be done at night and things like that. So I expected your answer. We'll do our best. I mean, only I would have been as nervous. You said there's no way. So I know there's ways you can shave. That's why I said we'll go 30 days at a time versus saying no. The answer didn't surprise me, not just because you're hanging your hat and your reputation and Great River on your answer. So to say you'll do your best is probably only you could say. I know, I mean, we've been around, Frank's been around. There's creative ways to shorten a construction cycle. You can get a whole lot of people, or you can work extra hours, and this is a new stretch of road anyway, so there's not going to be a whole lot of interrupting of traffic flows. So there's ways, I think, to shorten the cycle of construction. I also think there's some duplication that you can do from an engineering, from the preliminary to the final, and skip a few of those processes. So that's why I'm just going to say I wasn't too nervous about his response. And then, so anyway, it's scheduled 26th at 1 o'clock.
Well,
we have to vote yet. So.
Yeah, we have to vote on it. Jim, and one thing, I guess, I'm not being heard. I'm not being heard this morning. There was a request that we wait on a time frame, and then the time frame was set different. I'm not being heard when I said that EFK Moen, the person that was involved in this quest to start off with, who had no rush time, who had no presence of any limitations on the amount of time to do the project, stated that it was an 18-month project. Now, we've got 18 months to work with in a rush form, and we can't cut a month off of it, or we're concerned with the other things that are being pushed forward when we're considering this a rush project, whenever the other engineer said that it was an 18-month project under no rush conditions. So for some reason, the message is not getting out there clear that possibly you set a date to feel comfortable with. We tried to move the date forward, and you made a statement. If I was a contractor, if I was an engineer, I'd do the same thing. But we forgot that the other contracting engineers said that it was an 18-month project. So,
I got a question. In our agreement with you all, Spencer, it seemed like there was a 14-day
cancellation.
If this motion passed, will you go ahead and work 14 more days before you stop working, or how would that work?
No.
Okay.
I can tell you, we stopped working. We stopped charging any time to the county. It's not that we've stopped working on it. We're trying to do the data collection, find out what's going on, who's got money, maintain the website. But those are expenses that we're incurring that the county is not incurring. So although the county's not being charged anything, not incurring any expense, we're continuing to work from that perspective. It's just part of the project maintenance,
right,
until we know what happens in February.
And part of,
but you have not been charged a dime since we presented that application in front of you. Nor do we intend to until you give us clear direction.
The contract stated that on the 18th we would meet. We had it on the agenda for last Friday, and then by accident took it off because we were going to have this conversation last week. And so I think Bob Paulson should have contacted you. If not, somebody should have contacted you and said, we're going to meet about it, so hold off on billing against it.
Yeah. And Julian called me.
Yeah.
Okay. But we weren't anyway.
Okay, that's good. So we're just going to pause the whole contract, the whole engineering for 30 days, and then come back. Okay.
And during your collection of information that you provided for us today, we hope that in 30 days that you have double or triple that type of information or even an approval of the project.
That's what we're hoping.
Ready to vote?
Yes, sir.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Want to take a break?
We've got a few minutes until 3 o'clock budget time. I don't think there's anything else on the agenda.
Yeah, we need to take a recess.
Let's a little recess, sir. Good?
Yes, recess.
Woo!
So are you asking about